We begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachas daf Chavav. We begin four lines down from the top of the Yomid, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing as the topics of these parakim were invalidations that apply to flour offerings, where the previous Mishnah was speaking about the invalidations that we speak about in this Mishnah regarding the kaimitz, the fistful, which are burned in the Mizbeach. Our Mishnah describes those same elements that apply to the shirayim, to the remnant, to the leftovers. Says the Mishnah, nitmushi reha, if the leftovers of the kaimitz, which is generally eaten by the Kohanim, if they became Tameh, or Nisra for Shirel, or if they got burned, or of the Shirel, if they got lost, which are all problems regarding its ability to be consumed by the Kohanim. So says the Mishnah, Kimidas Reb Eliezer, according to the opinion of Reb Eliezer, who is brought in Masechet Pesachim of Ayin Zayin and Aleph, that he says that the dam, the blood of the carbon, could be thrown Afa Pishayim Basar, even if there's no meat to be eaten by the Kohanim. So here also, the Kaimitz, which is the equivalent of the dam, can be burnt on the Mizbeach, even though there's no Shirayim, and therefore Kshera. So therefore, the Kaimitz is going to be valid to be burnt on the Mizbeach for the carbon of the Mincha. But a Kamidus Rabbi Yeshua, but according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that he's brought over there in Masechet Pesachim, what's known as an Im Bas or Im Dam, if there's no meat to be eaten, then there's no blood to which is permitting the meat, so therefore the blood cannot be thrown, and if there's no blood, there's no meat. According to him, so it's going to be invalid because since there's no shirayim over here, because it's either tameh, lost, or burnt, so therefore the kaimitz cannot be burnt on the mizbeach as the haktaras are kaimitz. Now, Amarav, he qualifies and he says, Vahu, this Rabbi Yeshua is quoted in the Mishnah that was saying that it's going to be possible to burn the kaimitz if something happened to the shirayim, is only shenitmu kol shirayim, if all the remnants became tameh. Of a mix of shirayim lai, but if only part of the shirayim became tameh, then no, that's not a problem, you can still burn the kaimitz on the mizbeach. Now, says the Gemara, Kasagatayter, you would entertain to say that what was Rav talking about, as he picked in this case, only nitma'in, only regarding the halacha of becoming tummy, where if the shirayim became tummy, that's where he was saying, in Rabbi Shua's opinion, if some of the shirayim are left over that did not become tummy, so then the kaimitz is going to be kosher, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, because ultimately, all of the shirayim are extant, it's just that part of it became tummy. But Ovid v'sarav, regarding the two other cases of the Mishnah, if let's say some of the shirayim got lost or got burned, they're lie. Their Rav was not qualifying in Rabbi Shua's opinion. Rather, their Rabbi Shua would hold that it's still going to be possible since you need the whole thing to be extant, and you don't, because part of it is lost or burned. Now, the reason why we would assume this is because when Rav described this halacha in qualifying Rabbi Shua's opinion, he said it in the category of Tumah, and they didn't also say it regarding the halacha of if it's burned or if it got lost. So that has the Gemara, my Iksava. But if that's the case, what does Rav hold that he's differentiating? Iksava shiur milsehi, if he holds that what's left over from what wasn't burnt or lost or became tummy is milsehi significant, then the fila of it was sarv nami. Then even in the case of when part of it got lost or got burned, also the remnant should still be significant enough to allow the kaimitz to be burned where it's permitting at least the remnants of the remnants. And iksava shiur lav milsehi, and if he holds that the remnants are not significant, so v'nitma my time. So what's the reason why he differentiates and he says that when it becomes part of a tummy, that then you could be makter the kaimitz for the remaining part that was not tummy. Obviously, you're going to say because the meratza tzitz. No, tummy is different because the tzitz is meratza and says when regards to tummy of a carbon, we consider it as if it's not a problem of tummy. But if that would be what his reasoning would be, then even kol shira nami, then even if all the remnants became tameh, it should still be permitted to burn the kaimitz because, regarding tumah, we view it as not a problem. So then what is Rav saying that in the halacha of tumah, only if part of it was became tameh, then it would not be a problem, and it's only a problem when all of it became tameh, but why? Either way you look at it, if shirayim is significant, then it should apply even to the other halachas. And if it's not, then why is tumah different? If it's because of ritzitzis, then that shouldn't be only if partly, that should even be if the whole thing became tumah. Says the Gemara, lo ilim ksav shiur milsi. Truth is, Rav holds that the remnants, whatever is left, as long as there's something left over, it's significant. And therefore, you could burn the kaimitz to permit whatever that little bit is left. And the nitma b'hu adin la'avid v'sarv. And you're right, the halacha of Rav was not just by tumah, but it was even by if it was part of it was burnt, or part of it was burnt. V'hai d'kama nitma, so then why did he pick the case of if it became tumah? That's just simply reshayu nakad. He was just picking the first case of the Mishnah, which was describing the case of tumah. Kedetanya, like we learned in a braisa, which is clear that Yeshua actually validates as long as there's something left over from a carbon, even if the rest is burnt or lost, it's not necessarily regarding the case of tumah. As the braisa teaches Yeshua, he says, "Kalas vachem shabatayra, all carbonis in the Torah, Shneshtar mehen, if it has least left over, where you don't have the whole shirayim, like by a carbon, the shirayim is the meat, you don't have it. You just have left over at least a kezayis basar, an olive size of meat, a kezayis chaylev, or an olive size of the fats. Then zarek es adam. Then you can throw the blood, because that will qualify for it to have what the pasuk says, habasa v'adam. You do have im yesh dam, yesh basa, you do have some meat left over. Now, let's say you have only a half olive size of meat and a half olive size of the fats, then ein zarek es adam, then you cannot throw the blood, because although together it's a consumption of a kezayis, where the mizbeach is consuming a half a zayis and the person is consuming half a kezayis, but the achila and akhtara do not combine. But uba ayla, by a carbon ayla, there are filik kechatzi zayis basar, kechatzi zayis chelav, there even if it's only a half a size of olive of the meat and a half a zayis olive, olive size of the fats, then zarek es adam, then you could throw the blood. Why? Neshakul akol. Because by carbon ayla, it's all one consumption. The meat is also burnt on the mizbeach, so it's all haktara, therefore they're going to combine to be a share of a kezayis. Now, however, ube mincha, but by a flour offering, a filik kula kayemis, even if the whole mincha is intact, lo yizrik inala, throw the blood. The Gemara asks, mincha maya vidita. What exactly type of izrika do you have by a mincha? A mincha doesn't have throwing of the blood. You burn the kayemis. So that Amar Papa says, no, it's going in the same case we're mentioning. It's talking about minchas nesachim. It's the flour libations that come together with a carbon sacrifice. Salkataitach, you would think to say, hoil bahadi zevach kaasya, since it's coming together, it's secondary with the carbon. Kagufi de zevchadami would be comparable to the actual carbon itself, that it should be the equivalent of, like, if you have some remnant, some meat left over, that here also when you have the mincha at least left over, that nothing happened to it, that you should be allowed to throw the blood to permit the mincha part, just like as if some of the meat was left over. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brice is teaching, that Rabbi Shua is saying that no, that's not going to be considered like the Zevach itself, and it wouldn't allow the blood to be thrown if even the entirety of the mincha is intact. But one thing we see is that we see Rabbi Shua's opinion is even if it got burnt or if it got lost, as long as there's something left over, like the teaching of Rabbi is saying, that would allow the kaimitz regarding a mincha, or by a carbon, the blood to be thrown. Now the Gemara says, Menan Emili, regarding something that we just mentioned in the previous Brisa, from where do we know that even if you don't have meat left over, but as long as you have chelev, the fats which are burnt on the mizbech as a murm, that itself would be enough to allow us to throw the blood for the validity of the carbon. So Amar B'yechin and Meshumer B'Shmal, and Mataba Meshumer B'Shua Ben Chananya, it was brought to us that it was in the name of Meshumer Ben Chananya, that Amar Kra, the Pasuk says of a Yikra, where the beginning of the Pasuk there is saying that Vizarek HaKoyin Es Adam Al Mizbeach Hashem Lefnei Oil Moed. So it's talking about the Zrik Es Adam. And then the Pasuk continues, the Hikter HaKheil of L'Reich Nechech L'Hashem, that you're going to burn the fats as a pleasant aroma to Hashem. So you see that even if it's just because of the fats, that would allow us to throw the blood. That Cheil of Av Pishem Basar, that as long as there's fats, even if there's no meat, that still that will allow us to be Zarek the Dam. Now, continues the Brice of Ashkech and Chelev. Now, that would only know regarding the fats. Yeseris ushtei kloyes menolin. How do we know regarding the diaphragm, which is the muscle by the stomach, or the two kidneys, that there, if let's say those are the only things that are left over, that would also allow us to throw the blood? Oh, the way we know that is because we saw earlier that we said, diktani, we learned, ubemincha, afilikul kayemis layizrik. We said that, oh, by the minchas nesachim, even if the whole minchas nesachim is intact, that's not going to allow us to throw the blood. The inference is mincha hudliyizik. Like we said, mincha is not part of the carbon itself. That if that's around, that's not going to allow us to throw the blood. But the inference is, but stuff that are from the animal, like the diaphragm and the two kidneys, that would be enough to allow us to be considered shirayim. That if yesh basar yesh dam, that you can throw the blood for those leftovers. And that's the Gemara Menolan. So we know that that's from the Braisa, but where does the Braisa know this halacha from? So B'yechin and Didei Omer, B'yechin himself said over, where previously they were saying over from others, now he himself says over his own interpretation, because the Pasuk says, L'reich Nechayach, it says, V'hikter Achelev L'reich Nechayach, that you're going to burn the fats as a pleasant aroma. What that tells us is, not although it's saying the Pasuk Chelev, but the word L'reich Nechayach tells you, Kol Shatamal L'reich Nechayach, whatever you burn for a pleasant aroma, including the diaphragm and the two kidneys, which are also burned in the Mizbeach, that is also going to qualify the blood to be thrown. Now, says the Gemara, we have two drashas then. We have Chelev, and we have Reich Nechayach. Says the Gemara, V'itzach L'michtav Chelev, we had to write that in the Torah the word Chelev, that's enough to allow us to throw the blood. And V'itzach L'michtav L'Reich Nechayach, we would have to say the term L'Reich Nechayach. Why? The cost of chaylev, had we only written chaylev havaminas, I would have said chaylev in, only the fats, but yeserisesh tekloyes loy, which are not as significant, the diaphragm and the two kidneys would not be enough significant to allow us to throw the blood. So cost of rechman l'rech nechoych, that's where we had to write the pleasant aroma, which includes them. Now, v'kos v'chman l'rech nechoych, had we only written rech nechoyach, which is including even more than just chaylev, even the yeserisesh tekloyes, so then havamina fila mincha, then I would have thought to include even the flour offering, even the minchas nesachim would allow us to throw the blood. That's why I had to say osa chaylev, which sounds like that. Don't include terech nichayach, only something which is similar to the chaylev, which is at least from the animal itself, which excludes the milchus nesachim, although it comes with the carbon, it's not part of the carbon itself, and even if that entirety is intact, that would not allow us to throw the blood of the carbon. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding the invalidations of the mincha. Says the Mishnah, shaloi, if let's say they did not sanctify the kaimitz, which is they take from the flour offering a fistful, they did not take that and sanctify that bikli sharis, in the service vessel. Now, because the reason why it's talking about the not sanctifying a kli sharis after the kmitz was done, and what's called kiddush kaimitz bikli, is because it cannot be talking about the initial sanctification of the mincha in the beginning, because there no one's going to disagree that that requires a vessel, as the Gemara says later on, Dav Tzadik Vav Med Aleph, that you have to be mekadesh the mincha in a kli. Here, when we have a machlekes in our Mishnah regarding if it was not sanctified in the kli sharis, is referring to after the mincha was sanctified in the vessel, and then the kmitza was taken out, then that kmitza, what was done with that kmitza, if it was not sanctified in the service vessel, so the Tanna Kamma says, pasul, that's invalid. Before it's being burnt on the Mizbeach, it has to first be put in and sanctified in the service vessel. Now, Reb Shimon Machsha, however, Reb Shimon says that it's valid. Another halacha in the Mishnah, Hikter Kaimtza Pamayim. If let's say the fistful was burnt in two halves, instead of burning a one shot in the Mizbeach, it was burnt in two parts, then Ksher, it's going to be valid. Now, says the Gemara, Amar Bihuda Bereid Reb Chiya, he says, my time in Reb Shimon, what's the reason that Reb Shimon holds that even though the Kaimtz was not Niskadish, but Kli Sharis, it's going to be valid? Says the Gemara Amakar, because the pasuk says in Yikra, Kodesh Kodeshim Hi, Kachatzus Vacha Ashim, when it's referring to the Mincha offering, it says, it's the holiest of the holies. It's like the sin offering and the guilt offering. What does that mean? Why are we comparing the Mincha to Chatas and Ashim? So on that says the Gemara, because it depends. Bala Evda, if he's coming to do the service, which is the burning of the Kaimitz, which is in the place and the equivalent of what the Zrikas Adam is by Karbanos, by animal sacrifices, if he's coming to do that biyad with his hand, meaning that he's not sanctifying it in a vessel, rather he's taking it straight with his hand and burning on Mizbeach. So then, if the bimin kechatzis, then he does it with the right hand, like the karmachatzis, which there also the zrikas adam of a karmachatzis is done with the right hand, with the finger. As the pasuk says, he takes from the blood with his finger, which the Gemara Zavachim Chavdal Mabez tells us that wherever it says etzba en kuhuna, it's only going to be with the right hand. So here you see from the fact that we compare the mincha to the chatas, is obviously that you don't need a service vessel. As long as you do it with the right hand, you could even do it with the hand. That's exactly like we're saying in Reb Shimon's opinion, that he holds it valid, even though you weren't mekadosh the kaimitz in the kli, you could do it with the hand. Now, bakli, if you're doing it with a vessel, then evde b'simol ka'ashem, then you could even do it with the left hand, like a karban ashem, where, meaning by a karban ashem, the zrikas adam is done with a vessel, not by the hand, because the only one that's done with the finger in the hand is only karban chatzis, the Gemara says in Zvachim Nef Chavdal Mabez. Now, this idea, but so if you're doing it with a vessel, you do it with the left hand, that's exactly what Reb Shimon's opinion is, that if the zrika was done with the left hand, even from a carbon like a carbon ashram, it's going to be valid. Like a Brisa teaches that if someone throws with the left hand, the Tanna Kamma says it's possible. Shimon says it's going to be kosher, because by all other throwings of the bloods of the carbonus, it doesn't say etzba, only says kahuna. And Reb Shimon holds that kahuna itself does not require the right hand, it's only together with etzba. So therefore, if one is throwing the blood, he could even throw the blood from a vessel in the left hand, like Reb Shimon holds by a karban ashram, and so too the equivalent would be regarding the mincha, regarding the kiddush or the kaimitz. If you're doing it by hand, then it's with the right hand. If one is doing it with a vessel, then it could even be done in the left hand in a vessel. So that's one interpretation for the source for Reb Shimon that he holds as kasher. Another interpretation, Reb Yanei Amar, he says, kivin shekamtza mikli sharis. Since once you do the kmitza, which like we said, everyone agrees that it has to be sanctified in the service vessel. Once you do the kmitza from a kli sharis, maleu maktira filabem yanei. So Reb Yanei explains in Reb Shimon's opinion that you could even elevate it and sacrifice it even with the kohen's belt. Even with an earthenware vessel, it says that there is no halacha of requiring kiddush kametz bakli. There's nothing that's significant. You could even do it with the belt. A third interpretation of Nachmi Yitzchak, he says no. Actually, hakol moedim, everyone agrees, but kametz shetoin kiddush. Regarding the kametz, he says no. Reb Shimon agrees that you have to be mekadosh the kametz bakli. So what do you mean? What, didn't we find the Mishnah Reb Shimon says that it's going to be kosher even if you didn't do it with a kli sharis? You know what that means? That doesn't mean that you weren't mekadosh the kametz in the kli after you did the kemitza. It means to regarding the haktara, the burning on the mizbeach, meaning after he did, yes, which even according to Reb Shimon, he's mekadosh the kemitz in the kli, then however, if he takes it from the service vessel after it was sanctified and he brings it up to the top mizbech and he burns it with his hand, it's going to be kosher. But the kiddush kemitz, says Reb Nachman Yitzchak, of course, even Reb Shimon holds, you have to have kiddush kemitz bakli. Now the Gemara goes and asks on these different interpretations in the opinion of Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, Mesa, but the Gemara asks from a braisa, which is difficult on the first interpretation of Reb Yehuda b'Rid Reb Chiya. The Braisa says, Hector chalavim ve'ivarm ve'etzim, regarding the burning of the fats and the limbs and the woods of the atzim maracha, which these are things that are all put on top of the mizbeach, shehelin, bein b'yad, bein mekli, if they were put on top of the mizbeach, whether by hand or with a vessel, bein b'yamin, bein b'smol, whether with the right hand, the left hand, says the Braisa, so kasherin is going to be valid. Hakoimitz, vakteiris, valavain, regarding the fistful of the mincha and the incense and the frankincense, shehelin, which were put on top of his bech, bein biyad, bein mikli, whether by hand or with a vessel, bein bimin, bein mismol, whether right hand or left hand, sharon is going to be valid. Says the Gemara, tiyufta de Reb Yehuda, b'Rid Reb Chiya. That refused the first interpretation that the Gemara had brought, where he had said that, yeah, Reb Shimon holds, you could do it by hand, like we see in the Mishnah, but if you do it by hand, you have to do it with the right hand, because that's learned out from the comparison of the Chattas. Problem is, this Braisa says clearly that even if it's done with the left hand without a vessel, it's going to be valid. Now, and it spoke about the kaimitz. Now, most definitely, this Braisa is Reb Shimon, because he's the one that holds that's going to be valid even without a kli sharis. And what do we see? That it doesn't have to be the right hand. It could even be the left hand. That's not like the first interpretation in the Gemara. It could be like the next interpretation that the Gemara said, that you don't need to do anything. It's okay. You don't have to do any kiddush kametz b'kli. You don't have to do anything. Just go ahead and burn it. But the problem is, the first interpretation says it has to be the right hand. Here you see it even with the left hand. So Amlecha Reb Yehuda b'Rid Reb Chiya, he would tell you, no, let's start in Ketani. You have to read the Braisa that it's not categorical in the sense of absolute all across the board. The cases that are saying whether this, whether that, are for specific type of cases. Meaning, when it was saying that you could do it even biyad, that was specifically bimin, with the right hand. When it was saying you could do it bikli, that was the case that was bim bimin bim bismol. So it's not with the hand or the vessel, and either one of those could be either with the right hand or with the left hand. No, you could do it with the hand or the vessel. But the hand has to be with the right hand. The vessel case is the one that's whether the right or whether the left. And therefore, it's not difficult in this interpretation. You're right. The right hand, the by hand, could only be with the right hand. Now the Gemara continues asking on one of the other interpretations in the Gemara. Tashma, let's learn from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, come to Shaloi Mekli Sharis. Let's say the Kemitz was not done from any types of service vessel, meaning even if not the one that it was originally sanctified in. The halacha requires that the kemitz has to be from a kli sharis, and it was not taken when it was separated from the rest of the flour offering from a service vessel. Or, the kitru shaloi b'kli sharis, where it was sanctified not in a service vessel, essentially saying that it was not sanctified, the kemitz was not put into a service vessel. Or, the helovik tiru shaloi b'kli sharis, or it was elevated and sacrificed on the mizbeach, not through a service vessel. Says the Tanakam Apostle, these are all problems that it requires a kli sharis, and therefore it's going to be invalid. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, machshirin b'man kli, they say it's kosher even with any vessel, even if these halachas were not done with the kli sharis. Says the Gemara, that's a refutation of Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, where he had said that everyone agrees that kiddush kemitz requires a kli sharis. He was saying that only the machlekes was regarding after that, if when you're burning it, if you need a kli sharis or not. Yet here we see clearly, not like that, not like the way he said, that even Reb Shimon does not require kiddush kemitz b'kli, because one of the cases was regarding the kemitza, shaloi mikli sharis, and then regarding kiddush shaloi mikli sharis, which is the case that we're discussing, and you see Reb Shimon says, it is going to be kosher without a kli sharis, not like Reb Nachman Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, no, Ema, you should read it, not that they're machshir b'matn kli, rather, mi matn kli ve'elach. from the time of when it was, when the kaimitz was placed into a vessel and onward, meaning what's after that, which is the halacha, the transportation of mizbech and the aktara, those are the things that don't need a kli sharis. But it's not saying that all these halachas are only enough, even with a matan kli, with any vessel that it doesn't need a kli sharis. No, kiddush kaimitz requires a kli sharis, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And it's just saying from the time when it was put into a vessel and onward, that's when it doesn't need a kli sharis anymore. So the message Tosh Matzbinga, another raya. The Braisa says, V'chacham, I mean the sages say, Kaimitz toin kli sharis. The fistful requires a kli sharis. Ketzad haso, says the Braisa. Kaimitz toin mi kli sharis. First of all, the fistful has to be taken from a service vessel. U'mekadsha bi kli sharis, has to be sanctified subsequently in the kli sharis. And the numalu maktir bi kli sharis, then has to be elevated and sacrificed with a kli sharis on the mizbech, like we said before, their opinion. P'shimenaymer, he says, no. Kibin should come to a kli sharis. Once the kmitz was taken from a kli sharis, which sounds like that's enough, even if, let's say, it was not subsequently sanctified, that kmitz in the kli sharis, then malu maktirish lebi kli sharis v'dai, then you could go up and bring it up and sacrifice it, even not in a kli sharis, and that's enough, which is not Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who said that no, Rav Shimon agrees that you do need to have kiddush kmitz b'kli. So Zigmar Ema say, no, kibin should come to, and this is the word that's being added on, v'kidshay b'kli sharis. Once the kmitz was taken from, and then it was sanctified in the service vessel, then malo maktir v'dai, then it's enough, you can bring it up to mizbech, and that's enough, which is excluding the halacha and the haktar. But the kiddush kmitz does require a kli sharis. Zigmar says, Tosha, let's bring another raya, not like Rav Nachman. The Braisa says, kmitz b'mina. Someone did an appropriate kmitz with his right hand, but then menasin b'smoili, puts it into his left hand without a vessel. Says the Braisa, so yachzali minai. So you have to put it back into the right hand, as the Gemara had said earlier, that if you're coming to do the avodah, even if we hold you can do it with the hand, you have to do it with the right hand. Now, says the Braisa, let's say b'smoili. Let's say when it was in his left hand, as a ketintam at base, v'chishav aleho, and at that time, when it was still in his left hand, he had a makshava regarding this kaimitz, bein chutzlim kaimai, bein chutzlazman, whether he had a mind to eat it, to burn it beyond its time, beyond its place, or beyond its time, which one of them essentially usually is pigel, chutzlazman. Here the halacha is going to be possible the aim by karas. It's going to be invalid because he had a makshava psula, but it's not going to be a liability of karas because it's not considered a valid, invalidating sort of makshava, pigel, to make whoever eats it liable for karas, because an invalidating thought is only by someone that's fit to do the avayda. Now, the left hand without a vessel, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not valid, like we said before. Even though he validates the left hand, that's only with a vessel. And this with the right hand is only with the right hand. So therefore, if he's having the machshavah and it's in his left hand, that's not going to make it into pigel. Now, the girsa is that b'minay, now if let's say he has a machshavah and it's in his right hand, then chishav alei chutzim kaimah, then if he thinks about it beyond its time, beyond its place, is possible be makaris, that's going to be invalid, but if someone eats it, not does not chayav v'karis. Chotzes man, if he has a machshav, if he, having it done beyond its time, pigel v'chayav v'karis, then it's pigel, and whoever eats from it would be chayav v'karis. That's the Laza for Reb Shimon. They say that no. Kimit shenas l'smol, once he put into his left hand, paslasai matznasai, that invalidated the putting in the left hand, it actually invalidated, and there's no more rectification, like Reb Shimon said, who's the Tanna Kamma, to put it back into the right hand. My time, what's the reason? So says the Gemara, Mishum Debay Kedusha B'Kli. Because they hold, like we've mentioned their opinion on Amad Aleph, that the Kaimitz has to be sanctified in the vessel. Now, the Kivin Shanasla small, but when he did the Kaimitz of the right hand, and before putting into the vessel, he first put into his left hand, Nasi, you know what that becomes? Kedam Shanishpech Mitzavah Behem Ala Ritzpa. Like blood that spilled out from the neck of the animal that went straight onto the ground, Vasov, and then he gathered it together, Shepasel, that it's invalidated from ever going ahead and sanctifying it in the vessel. Now, that's the idea, because if they didn't require the kaimitz to be niskadish b'kli, then that wouldn't invalidate it that's in the left hand. That would be essentially like blood that's spilled from a vessel onto the floor, where then if you gather it together, it's going to be kosher, like the Gemara says, the human of Mechesim and Aleph, if it spills from the vessel on the ground, and you gather it together, it's going to be valid. But here, since they require kiddush kaimitz b'kli, it's essentially the kabbalah of the dam of an animal, where if it spills straight from the animal onto the floor, where here, if it went to the left hand, which is the equivalent of the floor, that invalidates you. You can't go get it back together again and put it back in the right hand to validate it. Now, but says the Gemara, so that's the opinion of the Chacham. Machlad Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, the Tanakamas, which we're talking about Reb Shimon, that they hold loy bo matan kli, that you don't require the kiddush of the kaimitz by putting it into a vessel. Like we said, because if they required kiddush kaimitz bekli, then there wouldn't be any rectification of putting it back in the right hand like we explained before, because that would be like it's spilling from the neck straight onto the floor, which that would invalidate it. Like the Gemara says, v'lakach midam apar, that you have to take from the blood of the bull, which the Gemara elsewhere darshans, that means dam mehapari kablen, you have to receive the blood straight from the neck of the bull. Now, the kiddush of the kaimitz is essentially the same thing as the receiving of the blood. They're both the kaimitz which is burnt on the mizbeach, the same thing as the blood which is thrown on the mizbeach. Now, the left hand without a vessel is like the floor, because although we said Reb Shimon validates Kabbalah with the left hand, that was only with a vessel. With the hand, that's like the floor. And yet still they say it's kosher. Obviously, because they don't require any kiddush kaimitz b'kli. That's tiyufta Rav Nachman, says the Gemara. Yes, tiyufta, it refutes Rav Nachman, who he had said, Rav Shimon agrees. Although in the Mishnah he says kosher without the kli sharis, that was only regarding this taking with the kli sharis to burn the mizbeach. But the initial kiddush kaimitz, he said Rav Shimon requires. Here you see clearly Rav Shimon does not require kiddush kaimitz b'kli. So says the Gemara. So let's go to the other two opinions. So this Brisa supports him. He had said, as the first interpretation, that how do we know that it's kosher by hand is because it says kodesh kodeshim kechatzis b'cha'ashim kepira mincha to chatzis n'ashim. Chatzis is done with the right hand. Ashim could be, according to Shimon, could be done with the left, but with a vessel. He said when you're doing the aveda with the hand, you have to do it with the right hand. Here also you see clearly that the Brisa, the Tanakam, Reb Shimon says, you have to, although it's not invalidated in the left hand, you have to put it back into the right hand. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yechiya's interpretation. But says the Gemara, going to the next interpretation, Rabbi Yanai, Limitav Tuyufte. Let's say this should refute his opinion, where he had said that, no, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require anything. You do koimitz from a kli sharis, you can go right away and just do the whole thing by hand. And he said you could even do it with the belt of the kain. The problem is, if you do it with the belt, for sure you can do it with the left hand. And yet here we see clearly, Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can't do it with the left hand, you have to put it back in the right hand. So does that refute Rabbi Yanai? And that says the Gemara, no, Amalach Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai would tell you, Ana de Amri Ketana de Hector. This Brisa is not like me, but I'm like a different Brisa that we mentioned before that was talking about Hector Chalavim Veivarm, where that Brisa said that it's going to be kosher to do the Avoida of the Kemitza, amongst other things, with the left hand, even though it's doing with the hand itself, not with a vessel. And v'lav letzadim ketani, and not like the way Rabbi Yehuda Rechia and Omer Alf had answered it, that it shouldn't be difficult on him, where he said, no, it has to be with the right hand, that he says, oh, letzadim ketani. Although it says it's kasher b'yad and b'kli and b'min and b'smoil, he said it doesn't mean absolute. The hand that's kasher is only with the right. The kli is with the right and the left. And that says the Gemara. Rabbi Yanai would tell you that no, it actually is absolute, like his interpretation. Yes, but Yad HaBakli is kosher both b'min and b'smol, and therefore that Brisa is like his interpretation of Reb Shimon, although this Brisa obviously is not like his. Now the Gemara continues with the second halacha of our Mishnah that said, Hikter kaimtza pamaim. If let's say they sacrificed, they burned the fistful in two parts, k'sher it's going to be valid. Now, we have Machlekes qualifying that halacha. Amir B'shu ben Levi says, pamaim. Yeah, the Mishnah was precise that it said in two halves, first one half and then the second half. That's where it's going to be valid, but v'loy pamei pamaim, but not in many times. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees, says, no, pamaim, v'fel pamei pamaim. It doesn't mean necessarily in two halves, even if three or four or five, as many parts as they want to, it's going to be valid. Says Yimamai, but now what's the difference between them? So Amir B'zevi says, because yesh koimitz paches mishnei zeisim, if there is a possibility that a kmitza fistful has less than two olive sizes of flour inside of it, and v'yeshaktar b'chus mikzayis, and then by default, as we're going to explain, if a burning of the kaimitz could be valid in a measurement less than the kizayis, that's ikka b'nai, that's the difference between the two of them, as the Gemara explains. Shubman Levi Sabah, he holds in kaimitz pachas mishnei zeisim. There's no kmitza that has less than two olive sizes of flour inside of it. So therefore, when the Mishnah said pamayim in two halves, it was precise, because then you can have in each haktara, each burning, each act of burning, a kezayis, and not less. And that's because of ein haktara b'chus mekezayis. A burning is not considered significant to be considered a valid haktara less than the sheva kezayis. But Rabbi Yechonah Saba, he held, no, yesh kemitz pachas mishnei zeisim, you could have a kemitza that has less than two olive sizes inside of it. And even so, the Mishnah tells us, if you do it in two halves, it's going to be kosher. So obviously you see, v'yesh haktara p'chus mekezayis, that obviously you could have haktara less than the kezayis, because in two halves, you already could have less than the kezayis. So therefore, of course, you could have three, four, five parts, if you don't have to have a kazayas, so therefore it doesn't make a difference two or three or four, and that's the reasoning of their machlekes, if it's only pamayim, or even pamei pamayim. Now, Itma, we learned, koimetz me'emesai mate shirayim b'achila. Continuing on the theme of our Mishnah regarding the shirayim and relationship to the koimetz, from when does the burning of the koimetz permit the leftovers to be eaten? Because we know the pasuk says, kodesh kodesh me'ishay Hashem. The mincha is holy of holies, from the fires of Hashem, which tells us that the kohanim do not have a portion of the shirayim until after it was ishay Hashem, as the Braisa teaches in Teres Kohanim. So at what point is it considered that the koimetz is burned to permit the shirayim? He says, from when the fire grabs a hold of the mincha, even if only part of it, that would already permit the rest of the shirayim to be eaten. He says, no, only when the majority of the fire has already taken hold of the kaimitz, only then will that permit the shirayim to be eaten. Now, Amalei Rabbi Huda l'Rabba bar Rabbi Yitzchok, he says, "As belach tamid Rabbi Yechon." I'll explain to you the reason Rabbi Yechon and why he held has to be ignited on the majority of the kaimitz to permit the shrayim to be eaten. Because Amakar, the pasuk says in Bereishis regarding the burning of Sedaim, "V'hinei olo kita ha'aretz kikita ha'kivshan." Now, behold, there was a smoke rising from the ground like the smoke of a fiery furnace. Now, ein kivshan malakita. Now, its calling is comparing to the fire of a furnace. Says the Gemara that a furnace does not burn up smoke until the fire has grabbed hold of the majority of the fuel. Now, by the kaimitz also it says the term behikter. So therefore, we need also have keter. Keter, like we said, is only if the majority of the fuel has already taken hold of it. That's why he learns that it has to be mishtatza or berubai of the kmitza. However, the Gemara asks under Yechon's interpretation, as the Gemara brings, Amalei Rav and Barav Adel Rav, he says, Amri Tamidach, your student said that Amr of Amram, that Ram said, meaning they said over the name of Ram, the Tanya learned in the Braya says as follows. Ainly, I would only know, meaning regarding to the pasuk that says that regarding the carbon oil, it's Al Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. It's on the altar the entire night, the burning of the carbon oil. So that's the Braya said, I would only know El Advarm Shadarkin the carbon oil, only things which are normally burned throughout the night. Kogoy Nevarm, Abadarm, the limbs and the fats of every carbon. Shemal and Maktirin, Mivai HaShemesh, that you bring it up and you burn it from after sundown, because that's when the limbs of every carbon are burned throughout the night. And then they decompose and they get burned throughout the entire night. Those are the things I would know that you burn throughout the night of a carbon oil. But dvarm shadarkan lekarav bayayim, regarding things which are normally sacrificed during the daytime, which as the Teres Kohanim teaches from the pasuk bayayim tzavaisai, that it has to be during the daytime, and the only thing excluded from that category are the limbs of a carbon oil, which the pasuk permits it to be burned throughout the night, like the pasuk says al moikta, which is what we're coming to explain. Now, regarding the limbs and the fats, which are normally sacrificed at the nighttime, that's where the Braisa Teres Kohanim learns out from that pasuk itself, where those are the exceptions from things which are not b'yem tzavaisai. But things which are normally sacrificed during the daytime by other karbanas, kagayin ha'kaimitz, like the festival of halavayin, the frankincense of hakatoris, and the incense of mechaz kainim, and the nedava of a mincha of a kayin, mechaz kain mashiach, and that of the chaviti kayin gadol, mechaz nasachim, the flower libations, shemala no maktirin mivai ha'shemesh, which those are things that are brought up and sacrificed after sundown, which the Gemara quickly jumps and asks, but v'amar darkan lekar b'yem, what do you mean? You said these are things which are normally burnt during the daytime. Ela rather, it doesn't mean mi vay hashemesh, ela im vay hashemesh, meaning as the sun is setting, meaning before the sun sets, that these are things that are normally burnt, meaning brought during the daytime. Now, as Rashi points out, there seems to be a difficulty over here, because we know that the mincha and the nesachim of could be brought even during the nighttime. And here it says that minchas and nesachim are things which are only brought during the daytime. So the answer is, as the Gemara asked us in the second Perek Masechtas Temura, that when the nesachim come with the carbon, then it's only during the daytime. When they come by themselves, they can be even during the nighttime. But be that as it may, so regarding these things which are only brought during the daytime, and the Gemara says umisachlan v'hochlan kalalaila, and that they could be burnt and throughout the entire night. Minayin, how do we know that those are also things that can be burnt throughout the night? Tamalim, that's what Pesach teaches in Vayikra. Zayis teres ayla, this is the law of the ayla. Reba, an inclusionary term to say that even things that are normally burnt during the daytime, that they're sacrificed during the daytime, they could be burnt and decomposed throughout the entire night as the limbs of a carbon ayla. Now on that, that's the Gemara, and this is the difficulty on Rabbi Yechanan. But v'imboy hashemesh, if you're telling me that these are things that have to be sacrificed during the daytime. Now, you're saying as long as it's brought before sunset, it's okay, like the Ivarm and Pidarm, they could also be burned throughout the nighttime, even though they're not totally burned during the daytime, as long as they were brought up before sunset. The problem is, the Gemara Mishkachas lo shatatzas or berubai. But you're not going to have, like Rabbi Yechon had qualified, that the majority of what you're burning on the Mizbeach should have the majority of it being ignited before Shkiyas Hachama. And that is, if you don't consider Haktara, like unless, like Rabbi Yechon has said, that the majority of it has to be taken hold of the fire, so it's going to be invalidated by sundown because you don't have the Haktara being done by the daytime. And that's the only time that you're considering it, that, oh, it was already considered Haktara. Yeah, if you have Haktara, then it can burn throughout the night. But the difficulty is, but if it's not considered Haktara yet, it should be invalidated once it's sundown, according to Rabbi Yechon. So Zimor Likash is not difficulty. Khan, the Bryce is talking about liquid. The fact that the Mizbeach should take a hold of the carbon, that it should not become invalidated by being left overnight, that is, like the Bryce says, from the moment that the fire takes a hold of it, even not the majority, as long as you put on the fires right before Shkia, before sundown, it's going to be valid. And then it could burn throughout the night, like Devar Mepadarm. And that we know from a Rebu Abzeis Teresa Eila, which includes all these other things. Khan, Rabbi Yechon was told about Lahatr, to permit the Yishraim to be eaten, for that it's not considered Haktara until the fire took a hold of the majority of the claimants. That's one resolution. Rabbi Lazar Masnila, he actually gives a different resolution by actually explaining the case of the Braisa, actually as we'd originally taught it, that regarding the claimants and the Levina that were brought up, Mivay HaShemesh, after sundown. Now we had asked, what do you mean after sundown? These are things that you said that are usually makrav bayayim. How could you say that if they're brought after sundown, that you could do that after sundown? They're not. They're only valid before, and then, okay, maybe you could keep it on afterwards. How could you say that? Says the Gemara, because umukim la bepeikim. He explains the Bryce is talking about, where the kaimitz and the levina, they burst off from the fires of the Mizbech and they fell down. That's what the Bryce is teaching, that you could bring it back up the entire night. And that's what we're learning from Zayis Taras Ayla, that although these are things that are usually carved by Yayim, and yes, you need to have Tatsas or Beruba like Rabbi Yechon said, but if it burst off, that throughout the night, you could put it back on, like Devar Mebadarm, Chen Kiyas Rav Dimi, like Soto when Rav Dimi came, Amir Rav Yanni, said Nimir Rav Yanni, but Paikin, there's Tumat Karbanis that had burst off, that you could put them back on through the night. That is the Gemara, Miyam Rav Yanni, Hachi, did Rav Yanni really qualify the Paraisa like Rav Elazar did, that's talking about things that are brought during the daytime, but they burst off, that you could bring them back up throughout the night? But V'am Rabbi Yan himself said, "Ketayrisha paka megav mizbech." Regarding the incense, if it burst off from the altar, I feel a kratan sheba, even whole significant granules of the ketayris, ain machzir nisen. We don't put it back on. Now, one of the cases of the brisa says ketayris, and he allegedly was explaining the brisa by piking that if it burst off, then you put it back on. But he says clearly ketayris, you don't put it back on. And so, the batani Rav Chanina bar Menyumi b'debeir b'lozim ben Yaakov, he taught the following brisa in Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Asher teichel ha'esh es ha'olam mizbech," which is talking about the trumas adeshin. But in the context of the pasuk, it's talking about the ashes that came with the fire ate the carbon oila, which is on the mizbech. Now you could read the word teichel as a word teuchel, which that it was the decomposed parts, which teaches ikule oila atamachzer. The decomposed parts of a carbon oila, which were burst off the mizbech, those teuchel of ha'esha sa'ila mizbech, those are the things you're going to put back onto the altar. V'yatamachzi kuli kataris, and you don't put back on the parts of the kataris that burst off, that you don't put back on. So, you see in the Braisa, and Sutra Rabbi Yana was saying, the kataris you don't put back on, how could he qualify the Braisa, which is, one of the cases mentions kataris, that you do put it back on, if it burst off, to put it back on through the night. So, as you might write, Sami Makan kataris, according to this, we should delete from the Braisa the word kataris, because actually, the Braisa is told about what you put back on when it burst off, and kataris would be not one of those things that you put back on. Now, Amr Basi, he says, Kipashit Rabbi Elazar ben Menachas, continue on the theme of this Masechta, when Rabbi Elazar was learning Masechtas Menachas, Bayi Hachi had the following question, which the parenthesis says, Bayi Rabbi Elazar, he asked, Kaimitz Shesidroi, regarding the Kemitza, if it was organized on the Mizbeach, and then Vesidro Olavis Amarach, then the pyre, which is the firewood and the fire, was actually put on top of the Kaimitz. Ma, what's the halacha? What's the question? Derech Haktar B'kach, is that the normal way of what we always say, that Shiris, the Avodah has to be in a normative way? Is this the normal way of burning it under the wood of the fire? Oyein Derech Haktar B'kach, because that's not the normal way of burning. You usually have the firewood, and then the fire, and on top of that you put the Kaimitz. And if it's not going to be valid, take it, let it stand. Similar type of a question, Boy Chizkiya. Chizkiya asked, Ivarin Shesidrin, regarding the limbs of a carbon which were organized on the Mizbeach. Vesidra Alein Nesamarach, and then the fire itself with the firewood was put on top of the limbs. Now, what's the halacha? So what's the question over here? Allah eats a mamrachman. The Torah says that you put the limbs of the carbon on the sacrificial parts on the firewood. So dafka le'etzim, so it has to be on the wood, not under it. Idilma, maybe no. Keep the custom krachrin, since there's another pasuk that says ashtoich le'eshes oila al mezbech, which this is why we're coming to the discussion. We mentioned this pasuk before, that which the fire consumes the oila on the altar, which sounds like that it's on the altar, not on the wood, which actually that it could even be under the wood. So maybe that's teaching us ibay hachi avit, ibay hachi avit. If he wants, he can do like this, which is on the wood. If he wants, he can do like this on the mezbech, under the wood. So it's going to take a let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be if it could be, if it could only be on top of the wood or even under the wood. So to Bayi Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, he asked a varin shesidrin b'tzidi hamaracha regarding limbs which are organized on the side of the pyre, meaning near the wood that's on the mizbech. Now what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains. I leave it ma'adama al mamash, according to the pin that says, when it says on, it means literally on, to light the boil. It's not going to be a question. As we continue to talk about chabzayin min aleph, da'ala etzim ksiv, says it has to be on the wood, so it has to be on the wood, not near it. But kiti boilach, the question you could have is, I leave it ma'adama al basamach, according to the pin which is mentioned later on, perik shtei alechem, dav tzadik vav min aleph, where the machlekes is in the Mishnah, regarding the translation of al. If al could also mean nearby, so according to him, you could ask, my, what would the halacha be over here? Would we say hachinami here also where it says ala eitzim, al means besamach, it can mean nearby? Maybe no, in this context, when it says on the wood, it's just like the next word in the pasuk of al mezbech. Mahasam al mamash, just like over there on the altar, means it has to be literally on the altar, not near the altar. So hachinami al mamash also over here, when it says on the wood, it has to be literally on the wood, not near it. Take a let it stand, it's not clear according to that. Manda amar, if ala eitzim would be able to mean like elsewhere near the wood, or in this context, it would have to mean actually on the wood.